Welcome to the first lesson. We're going to cover motivation right now. Motivation is the key to understanding how you act and react, as well as how other people can act and react. It's how you influence yourself. It's also how you influence people around you. And that can be anyone. For our purposes here, we're talking about business and sales and relationships and employees and other people around us. Having said that, this can help with influencing anyone on the planet. But it starts with you. And we're going to get into influencing others later on. But let's get into how you influence yourself right away. First thing you need to understand about motivation is that motivation is always emotional. I'm going to repeat that many times. You're going to hear me say that many times. Motivation is always emotional. How is it that some people are so driven while others watch a lot of TV? In school, at work, starting businesses. Why is it that some people in a business start off really strong and other people really just never get going? You've got people like Elon Musk on the planet, and the guy keeps doing things that are almost otherworldly, completely different than other people who are doing things on this planet. I'll ask you a question right here. Who in your field is somebody who never stops and keeps working toward their goals? Who is somebody that you know that just keeps going and keeps pushing, and they're up to all hours of the night, and they're still interested in the day. They're not getting completely drained by doing this all the time, even though they're tired. I'm going to share a little bit about my story here. I used to really struggle with procrastination, and for years I wondered what that was about. I struggled with the first couple of business ventures that I attempted, simply because I didn't take the action that I needed to take. Now, nothing really changed, and I'll share a really quick story here. I had a coach early on in one of my businesses who was good at what he was doing. He was very knowledgeable, good human being, had integrity. Driver personality. So he was one of those guys that just does. Doesn't even question why or anything like that. He just gets things done, really successful. I wasn't that way. I was somebody who struggled to motivate myself. I struggled with procrastination. And what I discovered in that coaching relationship is it's very easy to coach people who are driven. I've learned that since I've been coaching for years now. It's easy to coach people who are driven. The reason why is because they don't necessarily think about all the whys or question things or worry about their confidence or worry about how it's going to come across. They just get things done. They're action takers. But that wasn't me. For me, I struggled. And the conversations with this coach, he would challenge me to do something. I wouldn't do it. He would challenge me the next week to do it. I still wouldn't do it because I had all this emotional baggage attached to different things. And instead of helping me understand what was going on inside of me, he didn't have an answer. He didn't know how to help me start doing things. All he knew was, these are the things you need to do, which I also knew. I wasn't doing them. So the tough thing for me in that relationship was I realized after months and months with that coach, I paid upfront for a year. After months and months with that coach, I realized this isn't going anywhere and this guy can't help me. Not because he's not a good human being. Not because he doesn't know what I need to do. Because he didn't have the skill set to help me get going. Motivating yourself is a key skill to life. Now, even if you're driven in some areas, there are probably other areas of life that you're not driven. So even if you're driven for business, maybe you're not driven with family members or relationships or weight or health or whatever it is. These skills that we're going to be working on in these videos here this week apply to all of these areas. So keep that in mind. It's a universal skill that you can learn and apply to a lot of different things. So for me, nothing really changed until I worked on my master's degree in psychology. Part of my training was that I had to seek out a counselor for myself. Really fascinating. I began to understand that motivation is all emotional. I guess I first had to realize that I had emotions because I was kind of emotionally cut off in many ways. But once I realized I had emotions and was connecting with my emotions in different ways, I knew that I had them. Then I started to understand how my emotions directly relate to my motivation and started to realize that all decisions, and I've learned this over and over, so my background's in neuropsychology, I've learned this over and over and over again, that all decisions, we make decisions, humans make decisions emotionally. We make decisions emotionally. Like I said, I'm going to repeat this a lot of times. So let me go into the brain a little bit here. There are four major parts that I'm going to point out here to the brain. You talk to six different psychologists and you'll get 10 different ways that the brain is supposed to function, okay? It's not that any of them are necessarily inaccurate. It's just that we're trying to explain different aspects. And for today's purposes, I'm giving you a very simplified understanding of the brain. So we've got the cerebellum down in the left-hand side there for balance, mostly. We've got our brain stem, the arrow on the right-hand side there that points to our brain stem. And that's really for things that are unconscious. Things that we don't have to think about at all. So like our breathing, our heart rate, it helps. It's very instinctual, that this part of our brain. Then we've got two other parts to our brain. And these are really important points for our discussion today. One is our logical, our thinking, our conscious brain. If you like jargon, that's our cerebral cortex, okay? And that part of our brain is our higher functioning brain. It's where we are logical. It's where we can be really creative and think of new ideas. It's a very valuable part of our brain. That's what most people think of when they think about the human brain, this logical, conscious brain. But we've also got this subconscious, emotional brain called our limbic system. Some people call it, well, there are lots of names for this. I won't go into all the different names that people call this. But basically, this is your emotional brain. This is where your emotions reside. And this is actually where decisions are made. This is actually where decisions are made. If it's a choice between something that's logical and something that feels right or wrong, we will typically go with the thing that feels a certain way. We buy feelings. We don't buy products or services. And this is a really important concept to understand. You make decisions based on emotions. And you can think that this happens all the time, right? How many times have you been in an argument with somebody and you know that you shouldn't say certain things because it causes grief in a relationship? You know you shouldn't go to certain places, and yet you're all riled up, and so you do, and you say something. And even as you're saying it, you're like, I shouldn't be saying this. And afterwards, you're like, why did I say that? I know better than this. Because our emotional brain takes over. Actually, what happens is this emotional brain, part of our brain, developed to protect us. And it does a really good job of protecting us. The response that we have is our fight or flight response. So we will either run away, or we'll freeze, or we will fight something off. This has been a very useful part of our brain for a long, long time, hundreds of thousands of years, really, where When saber-toothed tigers and bears and other things were running around all of us all the time, the Mark Frentz forefathers who thought a lot and were very logical and didn't have really quick reaction times got eaten. And the Mark Frentz forefathers that did react really quickly survived. That's why we are the way we are in so many ways. So the subconscious brain, it reacts. There's some kind of emotion. It reacts very quickly without even thinking very much. And it helps us in really tricky situations a lot of the time. Having said that, we're living in the 21st century. In this century, it doesn't serve the same purpose because we're not being chased by lions and tigers and bears all the time, right? So because of that, we need to learn different ways to work with this part of our brain, because often you have associations with certain ideas like sales, like business, like money, like conflict or whatever it is, and because of that, you will not take action in a certain way. This is what is stopping us, because fear is an extremely powerful emotion for motivation, which we'll get into in a little bit here, okay? So we've got our thinking brain, and you've got to ask yourself, what have you been told about money? What have you been told about success? What have you been told about sales? What have you been told about anything, a conflict, anything that's related to business? Maybe with money, you've heard it's the root of evil, or rich people don't get there by lacking, or rich people get there by lacking integrity, or money doesn't grow on trees, or it's hard to make, or it creates fights, or it corrupts. I was told many times by my dad when I was growing up that money and power corrupt. Absolute money and power corrupt absolutely. So that was something that was drilled into my head. And it took a long time to figure this out. Wait a second, this is what I've been told, so this is what I believe. Deep down, I believe this about money, because if you hear it enough times, you tend to believe it. Someone was doing a campaign on Facebook a little while back and told me, she's done a lot of research on this, she's a marketer, and said, if you put something on Facebook 7 times, people believe it's true. Doesn't matter where it's come from, doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It affects our beliefs if we're told enough times. And then we've got our emotional brain, okay? So here what you've got to ask yourself is, what are my experiences? What have my experiences been with money? What have my experiences been with success, with conflict, with business, with sales calls, telemarketers, whatever it is? What did your parents teach you through their actions? What did you learn through your own mistakes, through your own failures? even your own successes. What did you learn about these things? Now, I'm not saying this to kind of point out that this is a bad thing for everyone. For some people, they've got great connotations of money. My 9-year-old she's just started her second business, and she's actually doing really well. She doesn't have the same connotations that money is evil or anything, because that's not what we've taught her. And so for her, it's a tool that she can use for wonderful things. So that's her belief system. But you've got to understand what your emotional connections to money and business and sales and all these things are. And the reason I took this image is that this limbic system, the subconscious mind, this emotional brain is very reactionary. It's very old, simple, basic in many ways. And it hijacks the system. It's like an alert or like an alarm that when it goes off, other systems actually shut down. So our logical brain, there's blood flow restriction. Our logical brain actually can't think very well in these situations. And that's something that I forgot to mention in the last slide. So when our emotional brain is engaged, when you're scared, angry, whatever, when that's going on, your logical brain actually has less blood and you're unable to think to the same degree, which is why we make poor decisions when we're tired or we're lonely, angry, scared, whatever. All right, our emotional brain. I'm just going to show a few things that kind of reside in our emotional brain. This is where we do most of our learning. This is where our beliefs reside and our emotions are tied to those beliefs. This is where we remember things. We actually remember things based on emotions and senses, which comes in as well. Our senses are a big part of our emotional brain, our emotions, and this is how we make decisions. So if you think about this, if these things are all tied together, does it not make sense that when you think of one, it might trigger some of the others? So this is why when you feel hurt, you might lash out the same way to defend yourself as you did when you were a kid. It's why fights tend to be all around the same way. It's the same patterns between family members. We're simply following the patterns we know. And there's other ways that these are tied. So think about a memory in high school or junior high or a really strong memory from when you were a kid. And I'm willing to guarantee you that there will be strong senses and strong emotions attached to that. So often there will be a song or a sound or a smell or something we see or something we hear. This is also why when you're listening, you listen to the oldies station in a mall or something comes across the radio and you're immediately brought back to a former time. A time where you may have completely forgotten about. Because all these things are tied in this part of our brain. Why is this important? Well, again, this is kind of another picture of your limbic system, and I'm gonna talk about three different things: your hypothalamus, your amygdala, and your hippocampus there. We're gonna forget about your pituitary gland for now. These parts of our brain are very simple, and they're kind of like the Three Stooges, okay? They're not like the Three Stooges in that this part of your brain is very efficient. The Three Stooges weren't very efficient, but they're not all that bright. This part of your brain is not very intelligent, okay? You've got the first part. Your first part is called your hippocampus. And hippo, actually, for like hippopotamus, it's basically the place that runs around and categorizes things, okay? So the first part of this brain, this emotional brain, what it does is it sees something, it hears something, it hears sales, or it thinks about money, or it sees somebody with an angry face or whatever, and immediately it categorizes that and puts kind of like a sticker on it, okay, in your brain. It just runs around and puts stickers on everything that's coming into your brain. The problem with this is that, well, I'll get to the next point. Your amygdala, the next part of your brain, attaches emotions based on categories. So whatever you put on this, angry face, or you see somebody running and you say person running, or you say boy, or you say girl, or man, or old man, or young child, or baby girl, or whatever it is, whatever you see or hear, any sensory input that comes into your mind, radio, whatever it is, the first one is just putting the labels on it. The second one attaches emotions based on categories. So that the first part of your brain runs and says, hey, I've got a man, or I've got a woman, or I've got conflict, or whatever it is. The second part of your brain goes, oh, I'll find a category for that. And it puts it into an emotional category. So if you've learned that, I don't know, if you've got a certain emotional attachment to a certain race, or like I'll talk about sales or products again, if or business in general, or money. When money comes in, if you've got a certain emotional attachment already categorized that way, what your brain will do is put it in the same category. It's efficient. It's not very intelligent, but it's efficient. Even if the money is a little bit different this time, it simply puts it in the same category, which is why people run around saying, oh, no, I don't want money. I want relationships. Well, why don't you want both? Why don't you want both? Why would you only choose money or relationships? You don't have to choose one or the other. That's based on the labels in your brain, okay? Now, the third part of your brain, your hypothalamus, attaches reaction to situations based on that emotion. So basically, the first part of your brain labels something as car, or sale, or telemarketer. And the second part of your brain goes telemarketer equals fear. And the third part of your brain takes that category that's been attached with fear and goes, oh, I know how to react to fear. I run away, or I fight, or I freeze, or I do something else. Okay, so these three parts of your brain work really close to the other. They do it very, very quickly before you can even think about it. And you have ways, patterns that you react to emotional categories in your head. Now, why am I saying this all? The reason I'm giving this to you is to really ask yourself, let's say you had two heads. You had your logical head and your emotional head. We'll make the red head your emotional head, okay? Well, we'll stick with preconceived ideas here. What would happen if you had two heads, one was logical, one was emotional, and they wanted to go in opposite directions, and they fought? Frustration comes from these two parts doing different things or wanting different things. Their logical brain says, I need to grow my business to make more money to take care of my family. I want to grow my business. I want to make more sales calls. I want to do more events. I want to get into marketing. I want to improve my sales process. Your logical brain says that because it makes sense based on what it knows from what other people are doing to create great businesses. But your emotional brain comes in and goes, there is no way I am making a sales call. Sales calls are evil. I don't like telemarketers. Therefore, I won't call other people. I'm not going to invite other people. What if there's conflict? And I'm not comfortable with conflict. When your conscious mind says this is a good idea and your subconscious mind says there's no way I'm going there, guess what happens? What happens is you get stuck. And when you're stuck, you're not going to go anywhere fast. It's like these two heads actually going in different directions. You're not going to go anywhere fast. It's actually quite frustrating. And I know this because I've been there, and you know this because you've been there. Where you want to do something, but you're not doing it. You know what you need to do, and you're not doing it. So what do you do about this? Well, again, I'm going to go back to what is motivation. I talked about how motivation is always emotional. Motivation is what causes you to take the action. And now that you have an understanding of a little bit of your brain here, you need to ask yourself, what's actually happening? What's happening is that you have labeled certain things in your brain, and you've got certain patterns that go with those labels. Certain emotions, certain categories, certain actions that you take, certain patterns that you have, okay? That is what causes you to take action. When you have a new situation, your brain is not gonna say, oh, this is new, this is different than everything else. It's gonna say, what is this most like? Oh, this is most like telemarketing. Oh, this is most like conflict. Oh, this is most like feeling alone. And you have patterned responses based on those pattern reactions, I should say, okay? Think of times you've chosen a certain career path or anything. Be specific. And you've got to ask yourself right now, was the decision emotional or logical? Know also that, again, I talked about influencing other people. Know that other people's decisions are always emotional as well. And if other people's decisions are always emotional, how is this insight important for you so that you build your business, you do more sales, you are marketing to the right people? Because the more you understand this, the more you will be able to market. It's an incredibly, incredibly important skill. Next, motivation is closely desired to our why, to our desires, and to our purposes. And this is a next really important point that I want to stress, because the more you understand this, the more you understand this, the more you will be able to control what's going on in your life. we are going to now get into motivation. We're now going to get to talk why. Why do you do what you do? What motivates you long term towards certain ends rather than other ends? If you've taken any coaching, if you've done any personal development at all, you know that people talk about your why. People talk about your desire and your purpose a lot. This is the most difficult thing to understand for business, and it's the most important. When you figure this out, it will lead you towards your goals far faster than anything else can. So here's what I want you to do. Ask a few questions right now. Maybe something was unclear about this video, whatever it was. Jot down a few questions as you're watching these videos and mention them in the next group or in a Facebook page or wherever. Mention them and try to get answers to these things, okay? The clearer it is for you, the more you will understand and the more you will get out of this program.